Today she is Masechta Gittin Daf Mem Beis, and we will begin on Daf Mem Beis Amar Aleph, the top line Amar Rabba. We learned in the Mishnah yesterday about the individual who's a Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chayrim, where Beis Shammai told us that we have to free him because he's unable to get married. And Beis Hillel told us one day he works for himself, and one day he works for his owner. And Beis Shammai told him, but that leaves him in a limbo, leaves him in a state that he can't get married. And Chazur Beis Hillel, Lahayris Kvei Shammai, Beis Hillel ultimately agreed with Beis Shammai. So then the Gemara, since we spoke about a Eved who was partially freed, the Gemara quoted a machlokes between Rava and Reb Yosef, and how to understand how an Eved could be partially freed, a machlokes between Rebbe and Chachamim. According to Rabba, everybody agrees that partial redemption can be accomplished with Kesef. If it could be accomplished with a shtar also, is actually machlokes of Rebbe and the Chachamim, according to Rabba's understanding. According to Rebbe, it could also be accomplished. According to the Chachamim, it cannot. And then we learned the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, at least according to the Maskan of the Gemara. The opinion of Rabbi Yosef is that, according to Rebbe, both with Kesef and Shtar, partial redemption can be accomplished. According to Rabbanan, partial redemption can never be accomplished. If so, and this is how we ended it yesterday, Shir, what is the case of our Mishnah, that we have an Eved that's partially redeemed according to the Rabbanan? So the Gemara left us with two terutzim. One terut says that our Mishnah actually reflects, according to Rabbi Yosef, the opinion of Rebbe. And the other terut was that the discussion between Rebbe and the Chachamim, when partial redemption is effective and when it's not effective, is only where there is one owner to an Eved, and he partially freed that Eved. However, in a situation where there are two owners, and one owner completely freed his part, has nothing to do with the other owner, there everybody agrees that partial redemption is effective. And this is where we pick up today's shiur. Amar Rabba, this machlokes that we've been discussing, the various versions of the machlokes, between Rebbe and the Chachamim, when partial redemption is effective and when it is not, is machlokes b'sheshichrer chetzyoy v'niyah chetzyoy. We freed half the Eved, and he didn't free the other half. However, and therefore we don't know, is it effective or not. However, but if he freed half the Eved and sold him, the other half, or he freed one half and gave the other half away, since by doing this action, he has completely removed the Eved from his reshus, there, Divrei Hakol Kana, everybody will agree that it's effective. Because, at the end of the day, he's completely out of the reshus of the owner. Says Rashi, for this various scenarios that the Gemara presented to be valid, they have to happen at the same time. We can't have a situation, says Rashi, that he freed one half today and the other half he sold tomorrow. That would still be the problem of a partial redemption. It all happened at the exact same time. So I saw Gevaldige Kasha from Aaron Kotlin. He says that yesterday, when we were discussing the opinions that hold that partial redemption is not valid, what was the basis, particularly by Ishtar, what was the basis for that opinion? Because we learned it from a get. Just like a get has to completely divorce, terminate the marriage, so too the Ishtar has to be complete. So ask Sir Aaron, the fact that the Eved is completely out of the Rishus, if you don't have a shtar that represents a total emancipation, so you don't have a get. And if the halacha is that a shtar shichur has to be similar to a shtar get, we still have the same problem. How is that issue resolved with this statement of Rabbah? So if Aaron says a beautiful teretz, he says, we have to always remember, he says, it's important to remember anyway, that the relationship between an Eved and his owner is not the same relationship between a wife and a husband. A Eved is owned by his owner. A wife is not owned by a husband. So of course the relationship that terminates the marriage between a husband and a wife requires a get that completely terminates that relationship. It's not a financial relationship. It's a special relationship that the Torah legislated that can only be terminated with a get. On the other hand, the relationship between an owner and a slave is a financial relationship. He's my property. So, truthfully, as soon as he's removed from being my property, that's all that's required. Just the Torah taught us that it has to be complete. It can't be partial. The fact that it wasn't done all in one fashion, part is shichur, part is mechira, part is shichur, and part is metana, that we don't have to be, if it's a financial relationship that now has been terminated, that is all that's required. Amale Abaya asks Abaya to Rabba, Ubekulei Loi Pligi, you're telling me, he says, that if he's been completely redeemed, even though it hasn't been done all in one fashion, it's effective for Tani Chad. There's one brisa that teaches us the following. HaKosef Nechosef L'Shnei Avodov. If somebody writes his, all of his properties over to two of his slaves, Kanu, so these slaves have become the owners of all of his property, and part of the property that they became owners are each other. Are the Avadim, so they free each other. Rishonim ask, how could such a shtar be effective? We know that Kol Mashakana Evid, Kana Rabbi. So he can't purchase the property as long as he's still a slave. So Rishonim answer, since it's the owner that's writing these documents, and the owner has the ability to free the Evid, so therefore this is a valid shtar. So that's one brisa, the Tanya. But yet there's another brisa that clearly says, he's giving over all of his property to his avodim. It isn't effective. So don't we have a stira between the brises? How do we reconcile these two brises? My lab, the way to reconcile the two brises is by saying that according to Rebbe, it is effective. According to Rabbanan, even though he's completely having the Eved removed from his rishus, it's still not effective. Unlike Rava, who said that even the Rabbanan agree that if the Eved is completely removed from the Adon's Rishus, they will agree that it's effective. Says the Gemara Loi. That's not the way to reconcile the Brises. Idi v'idi Rabbanan. Both Brises can represent the opinion of the Rabbanan. However, we have to follow the wording of the Brises. Hadam kuloi, hadam chetzi chetzi. If he said, my entire Eved is away, if he said my entire evidence, all my nechassim, and again he said my evidence all nechassim, so he meant to completely have the yavadim removed from his rishus, and that's why it's effective. And the second brisa, which says that it's not effective, it's referring to a situation where he said chatzi to each one of them. And therefore, the rabbanan hold it's not effective. And we have a machloikus rishonim, why, if he said chatzi chatzi, avdei v'chatzi nechassim to one eved, and avdei v'chatzi nechassai to one eved, and chatzi nechassai to the second eved, why isn't it effective? Rashi says, simple pshat. He says, he has two avodim, Reuven and Shimon. So he says, chatzi nechassai to Reuven, chatzi nechassai to Shimon. Perhaps he means the same half. He's giving away the same half twice, and he is retaining half. And therefore the avodim are still under his control, under his ownership. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos finds Rashi's pshat to be difficult. Because Pasha pshat, when I say chatzi chatzi, I mean the two halves, not the same half. So Tosfos explains the problem with chatzi chatzi is that he doesn't want both, he quotes Rabbi Nechanan saying this, he doesn't want both transactions to happen simultaneously. He wants them to happen consecutively. And as we said at the beginning of the shiur, yes, Rav is telling us that if he's having the avodim removed completely from Rishus, everybody agrees it's effective, but it all has to happen simultaneously. And if it's going to happen not at the same time, it's not effective. That's Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat. The Ramban's pshat, similar to Rashi's pshat, this is where Chassam Sofer explains the opinion of the Ramban. Chassam Sofer says what he means to say is that he's always going, when a person says chatzi, he always means to give away the poorer half. and he's going to be retaining the Eved. And the Ran says the easiest pshat. He says, for a shtar shikr to be effective, it has to cause a complete termination. The word chatzi is contrary to complete termination, and that's why these are ineffective documents. Ask the Gemara, let's continue learning that second braisa. V'amidetani seifa, it says at the seifa of that second braisa, v'ma mechatzi chatzi loikonu, mechlal. Isn't that a clear proof? The reisha d'ama kula, that the reisha that braisa is referring to a situation where he said kula, and still the reisha is paskening that it's not effective. Not like our interpretation that we just said, that the reisha is talking about chatzi chatzi. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the reisha, the braisa. The way to understand the braisa is as follows. Purusha kumafarish. The sefer is explaining the reisha. Af atzma loikanu, that if he wrote these stories, the avodim, they're going to go free. You know why? Because keitzat, kigoyin da'ama chatzi chatzi. Says the Gemara, hochanam mstabra. It makes sense to understand the braisa that way. Disal g'daitach. Reisha the Amar Kula. If we're going to explain that the Reisha is referring to a case where he said Kulai, and it's still ineffective, so now let's understand this Braisa. Hash the Amar Kula Loi Kanu. Now we're explaining that the Reisha is talking about a case where he said Kanu, Kulai, and it's still ineffective, so why do I need the Sefer to tell me Chatzi Chatzi? Amar Chatzi Chatzi Mi Boye? If Kulai is ineffective, Chatzi is certainly ineffective. It must be that the Sefer is explaining the Reisha. Says the Gemara, Imishim Halay Urya. Say, the Rishonim explained the Gemara this way. It's not that this teretz that the Gemara gave us has been refuted. The proof that the Gemara just wanted to give us, that this is the proper way of understanding the Braisa, that the Reisha is talking about Chatzi Chatzi, and the Sefer is explaining the Reisha, that is not irrefutable. That we could question. Because we could explain like this. We could say that the Sefer helps us understand the Reisha. Shloi Toimer, one should not perhaps make the error of saying that the Reisha is referring to a case, that's why Tana Sefer, that's why the Sefer explicitly tells us that we're referring to a case of Chatzi Chatzi, to teach us that the Reisha is referring to a case of Kula v'filoch loikanu. So it could well be that the Reisha is speaking about Kulai. So why do I need a Sefer to tell us Chatzi Chatzi if I already know the din by Kulai? To make sure that you recognize that this is the din not only by Chatzi Chatzi, but even by Kulai. So the proof of the mission of the Brice is not a proof, but the Teretz is a good Teretz. V'bay Seima, loikasha. Kam b'shtar echad, kam b'shnei shtars. The difference if he wrote one shtar for the two avodim, or he wrote two stars for the two avodim. Because as we have learned, we go back to something we just discussed a couple of moments ago, a shtar shikr has to be similar to a get. You can't write one get for two wives. You can't write one shtar shikr for two avodim. So the second braisa that says that they're not freed is talking about a case where he wrote one shtar shikr for the two avodim, and that's why it's not effective. The first braisa is referring where he wrote two separate stars, and that's why it's effective. Kam b'shtar echad, kam b'shtar echad. Says the Gemara, if the braisa, the second braisa that says it's ineffective, is referring to a case where he only wrote one shtar, b'shtar echad, my area chatzi chatzi. If there's a flaw, that it was written only in one shtar, even if it wasn't chatzi chatzi, I feel amakarlo nami leikonu, because the problem is that it's only one shtar. Says the Gemara, that's indeed what the braisa is teaching us. Hochi nami kama. Af atzma leikonu, in a case like this, it's ineffective. But madvar mamurim, when is it always not acceptable? B'shtar echad, if you used one shtar for the two avodim. Abashtay shtaris, if you used tay shtaris for the two avodim, kanu, they will be freed. However, even if he wrote two shtaris, but he wrote it in the fashion of amma chatzi chatzi, half and half, there, afilu shtay shtaris nami loy kanu. Vibay seima, a third teretz, loy kasha. Kambabas achas, the braisa that says it's effective, something that we discussed also previously, is when he has the two emancipations happen simultaneously. Kambas achaseh. But let's say he wrote one shtar. Let's think this through. He wrote one shtar to one eved, everything is yours. And he gave it to that eved. And then he gives the second shtar to the second eved, it's not effective. Ask the Gemara, Tishlam Abasloi Kanei. I could understand why the second shtar shouldn't be, have any value. Because I already gave everything away to the first Eved. Bishlam Abasloi Kanei. The Kanei Lekama. The first Eved already has everything. However, when somebody, what's wrong with the first shtar that the first Eved got? Elakama Likle Navshiv Likle Lechavri. He should become the owner of all of the assets of his owner. Says the Gemara, El Mechvayatik L'Shinin Mekara, this teretz doesn't make sense. Because if the two shtaris were written, where one was given first to one Eved, so that shtar, and then another one was given to the second Eved, I could understand why the second shtar doesn't accomplish anything, but why isn't the first shtar extremely effective? So the Rishayim, the Ritva, tries to understand what's the Havamina of the Gemara, why indeed not. So Ritva says that the Gemara and the Havamina thought that when an owner writes two shtaris, even though he doesn't give the two shtaris at the same time to the two avodim, what he meant was that they should be connected to each other, and that the first shtar should not be effective until the second shtar is effective, and therefore if the second shtar is not effective, also the first shtar should not be effective. So the Gemara, that's not necessarily true. The first shtar could be very effective, and the second shtar could be meaningless. Rav Ashi Amar. Rav Ashi says, attempts to say a different reason why the second shtar is not effective. Rav Ashi Amar, Shani Hassam, to Kakarale Avdim. He wrote in the shtar, I'm freeing my Eved. I'm giving my Eved all my Nechassim. Not freeing my Eved. I'm giving my Eved all my Nechassim. So the fact that he still called him an Eved is the biggest proof that he didn't mean to free him. Because if he meant to free him, why are you calling him an Eved? Even though the Rishayim point out that we many times find in the Gemara, when the Gemara wants to tell us what is the proper terminology for the sale or the gift of a field, so the Gemara says, Sadai Mechulach, Sadai Nesunalach. So you see that the Gemara uses the word Sadai, and the Gemara doesn't say it's proof that he doesn't want to give it away. Why is he calling my field? So Rishayim explain as follows. By a field, there's no other way of describing it. So obviously when he says Sadai, he means the field that I own, I'm giving away. But Eved, if he meant to give away the Eved, why is he calling him Eved? He could have said, I'm giving all my, the Eved has a name, Reuven, Shimon, whatever his name is. He said, I'm giving my assets to Reuven. The fact that he calls him Avodai is a proof that he didn't mean to free him. And if he didn't free him, then the Eved is still the owner's, and Kamash Kana Eved Kana Rabbi. Amalei Rav Ashi, just because they use the word Avdai, doesn't mean that he doesn't want to free him. V'dilma Avdai Shayu Kfar. Maybe he meant the person who was previously my Eved. Milay Tanan, didn't we learn a Mishnah? And we spoke about this at length at the beginning of Masechta on Daf Ches. Hakoyz of Kol Nechasov L'Avdai. If somebody writes all of his assets to his Eved, Yotzel Cheres. The Eved goes free because he's part of what I own. Shayu Karka Kol Shehu. If I left over for myself one piece of property, La Yotzel Cheres. He doesn't go out. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Just to review, there were two explanations for the opinion of the Tanakama. One explanation of Tanakama is, because now we have a situation of Pagin and the Bura. We have to say that himself is free, but not for the assets. We don't do Pagin and the Bura. Another explanation we learned is that in order for a Shtar Shikha to be effective, it has to cause a complete break. Here, he's still connected. Chutz mi echem merubu shebehen, and therefore it's not an effective Shtar Shikha. Shimon Aimer. Shimon says, the fact that he keeps property, and even though we can't identify which property, so the owner will keep all the property, that has nothing to do with the Eved. And therefore the Eved will be a chayrim, unless, unless the person, when he wrote this shtar, writes, I'm giving everything to this Eved, chutz mi echad verubin shebehen, besides 1/10,000. And since we can't, as we explained when we learned the Gemara in Daf Ches, since we can't identify what is the 1/10,000, maybe he means the Eved. Or another way we explained, he's keeping 1/10,000 of everything that he owned. And if he keeps part of the Eved, then he has the whole Eved. So that's why the Eved is not free. But what's the reason that the Eved is not free in this case? Tama de Omar, chutz mi echem merubu shebehen. Because he added this clause that sort of ruins the Eved's chance of freedom. Halay Omar hachi. If he hadn't added this extra clause of chutz mi echem merubu shebehen, kani, then the Eved would be free. But the question is, am I? And now we're saying that whenever you use the word avdi, it means that you don't mean to free him. Ella, what does avdi mean? Shalikfar doesn't mean that he's still my Eved. It means that this individual who was once my Eved doesn't mean that he's still retaining the ownership. And therefore, the fact that the word Avdi is included in the Shtar doesn't disqualify the Shtar in any way. I saw a very interesting Shaila based on this Gemara from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. He discusses the following question. It was obviously a halachah l'maisa. There was a person who passed away. This individual was a person who was divorced. They open his will, and in the will it says that I give my wife whatever he had written to his wife. When he wrote the will, it was ready after he got divorced. So the Yorshim want to contest the will, because obviously he wasn't in sound mind. He didn't have a wife when he wrote the get. The other side, the wife's side, wanted to say that Al Gemara says you could call somebody your Eved even when he's no longer your Eved. You could call somebody maybe your wife even though you're divorced. And therefore, he wrote Ishti. He meant a woman who he was married to, even though now he's no longer married to. So they were arguing, is the will a good will or not? He has a very interesting tshuva. The tshuva makes a lot of sense. I don't know what the halachic basis for it is. He says as follows, we have to look at the relationship between this person and his ex-wife. If they got divorced on good terms, I don't know if that's possible, but if they got divorced on good terms, so him calling her his wife is understandable, and the will cannot be contested. However, if they got divorced on bad terms, so if you got divorced from this woman because you couldn't get along, what are you calling her, your wife? And therefore, it can be contested. We go back to our sugya of Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayim. We know the Torah tells us, we're going to learn a lot about this in Mitzvah Shem, Masechet Bava Kama, that if a shor does damage to an Eved, the damages are paid to his owner. So now the question is, we have the Eved of our Mishnah, a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayim, who was damaged by a shor. Who collects the damages? So the obvious question that the Rishonim discuss, and we said this at the beginning of our shiur today, is that everybody agrees you can't have a chatzi eved chatzi b'chayim. Even Beis Hillel agree you have to free him. So how do we ever have such a situation? So I saw many examples how even after learning our Mishnah, we could still have a situation of chatzi eved chatzi b'chayim. One example is that the eved is a katan. What's the reason we have to free the eved? Because he has to get married. This is a katan. Or vice versa, the owner who still owns the Eved is a katan. We could force a gadol to free an Eved. We can't force a katan. Another example is that the Eved can't have children. What's the reason we need to free him in order he could get married and have children? He never can have children anyway. Another example is that he had children before he became an Eved, and then he became an Eved. So what's the reason we have to free him in order they should be able to populate the world with children? He already brought the children to the world. Another example, we'll talk about this more tomorrow, is by a shifcha. Perhaps only by an Eved is there an obligation that he has to have children, not by a shifcha. So we can have a situation of a chatzi shifcha, chatzi beschayim. And another example, we'll leave with this example, the Merkavos HaMishnah says it, that even according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that the person who's a chatzi Eved, chatzi ben chayim, the owner of the Eved part should free him, there's a procedure. The Eved has to write his shtar, that he owes him his value. So that takes time. And during that time where they were taking care of their affairs, and he was a chatzi Eved, chatzi ben chayim, he was damaged. So who collects the damages? Nachash Shor, says the Braisa, if Yom Shor Rabbi, if it happened on the day that he's working for the owner, the Rabbi, Yom Shor Atzmai, if it happened the day that he's owned by himself, or that he works for himself, the damages go la'atzmai. So the Ktzais quotes an interesting Yerushalmi. He says, let's say the arrangement they have is that Sunday the Eved works for himself, the Chatzi Eved Chatzi B'chayrim, and Monday he works for the owner. And he got damaged on Sunday. So now, according to the Braisa we just learned, he collects the damages. But then Monday he goes to his owner. And we know, Kamash Kana Eved Kana Rabbi. And therefore, all the money is going to end up by the owner anyway. That's the Tzais quoting the Yerushalmi. The Chasam Sofer says that the Bavli clearly disagrees with the Yerushalmi. The fact is the Bavli doesn't say this. And the Chasam Sofer explains why. He says, where is there a concept of Kama Shekana Evet Kana Rabbi? That's an Evet that's completely owned by an owner. This Evet is not completely owned by an owner. He owns 50% of himself, and that's why it's different. Ask the Gemara, if we're now saying that we separate the day that he's his own is his own, the day that he's his own is his owner, and then we have to look at what day did he get damaged. So then we need to go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had a problem, as we said. This Chatzi Evet, Chatzi Ben Chayrim, can never get married. Why not? Why don't we say that we should look on the days that he's working for himself, he can be married to Bas Yisrael because he's a full-fledged Jew. On the other days, not. Very simple. And the Taisus Rosh, in fact, asks, why do we need the Gemara to wait for this point, quoting the Brisa, then ask the question? We should have asked as soon as we learned the Mishnah, what's the big deal? The day that he works for himself, marry Bas Chayrin. The day that he marries a Bas Yisrael, that he's working for an Eved, marry a Shifcha. So the Taisus Rosh answers, if I only had the Mishnah, I could explain the Mishnah. I could say that the Mishnah doesn't mean one day for yourself, one day for Adam. It means work out an arrangement. But now that we see that it's not just working out an arrangement, it's hard and fast. One day you're yours, and one day you're Adam. So why don't we say that regarding marriage? Answers the Gemara, Isur like Kaminim. And the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is like the Shagas Aryeh, Tori Evin, explained. He says as follows. We don't have two people here. We have one person here. This one person is half Eved, half Ben Chayrim. Yes, there's an arrangement which day he works. That's a financial arrangement. So now when he is going to marry a Bas Yisrael, he's half Eved. Bas Yisrael and Eved are not allowed to be married to each other. Or when he goes and marries a Shifcha, he's half Ben Yisrael, who's not allowed to marry a Shifcha. You can't turn this person. He is a combination. He's a hybrid. And therefore, regarding marriage, we don't have any option. Toshma. Again, a word of introduction. The halacha is as follows. If a shor hamuad kills a free man, you have to evaluate, we have to assess what his value is, and that's how much his estate gets paid. It's called kaifer. If a shor hamuad kills an evet kanani, we don't do any evaluation of his value. You pay shloshim kesef, the Torah says the owner gets. So now again we have the situation, says the Gemara, the Braisa. Hamas Misha Chatzi Evet Chatzi Ben Chayrim. A Shor Hamuad killed an individual who's half Evet, half Ben Chayrim. Says the Braisa, Noisen Chatzi Knas L'Rabbi. Chatzi Knas is given to, half of the Shloshim Kesef are given to the Rabbi. V'chatzi Kefil Yorshev. And as the Rishonim point out, there is a din that if a Shor is owned by two people, there's no din of Knas. But here it's not the Shor that's owned, it's the person that's owned. It's the victim. Says the Gemara, why is this the formula we follow? Amai, hochanami lema, yoim shel rabbi l'rabbi, yoim shel atzma l'atzmai. We look at it, let's look at what day of the week it happened. If it happened on the day that he's working for himself, he should get kaifer, completely. Otherwise, if it happened on the day that he's working for the owner should collect complete knas. Answers the Gemara, shani hocha to kokalya karna. There's a difference between where a person was injured, he's still alive. Whereas a person who's killed, so there has to be a final settlement because there's no future for dead people. And as the Mefarshim explained, well, if Evid is injured, well, it's really the same regarding his work. There's an arrangement that has to be made, how we're going to divide up. And an arrangement can be made. But an arrangement cannot be made once the person is dead, and that's why we follow this formula. Says the Gemara. So now we're saying that the Braisa that says we do separate is referring to a case where he wasn't permanently damaged. If a person's injured, isn't the injury permanent? Says the Gemara, no, it's not necessarily permanent. The person was injured that his hand was hurt, and right now it's not well, but he's going to get Baruch Hashem better. And that's the case, says the Gemara, that the Braisa says, we look at what day of the week did the injury happen. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara. Hanich labaya, according to Abaya, When a person is injured, even if Amit Hashem he'll be as good as new, there are three stages. The first stage is that he's injured and he can't work at all. Then he comes to the next stage where he can work but he can't do his regular difficult job. And then the third stage is where he goes back Baruch Hashem. According to Abaya, a person who is damaged gets compensation for both. He gets compensation for the time that he couldn't work at all, and the compensation for the time that he had to take a job that is not as high paying as his normal job. So since he is going to collect this payment, so now we see that he couldn't do his regular job. So now we see what day of the week did this happen. However, ask the Gemara, we don't give this payment. So here we have a case of Shar HaMazik. So now, this is not a payment. So where is the payment? What is the payment according to Rava that we divide or we look at what day it happened? Answers the Gemara, Rava agrees that when the person was injured by a person, there he does get daily payment. And that we'll now see what day it happened. Vibay Semer, this Gemara that we quoted on Amud Aleph, that we say we look at what day of the week it happened, it's a memruhu. And this is what the Mefarshim explained. It's a memruhu, it's a saying that was said by Tanon. However, only a very big chiddush, only a Mishnah or a Braisa that was quoted by Tanoim may an Amayra not disagree with. However, if it wasn't said in a Mishnah or a Braisa, an Amayra could disagree. Since this din that we're speaking about, Amud Aleph, where he was injured, and he'll be back to normal, is not a Mishnah or a Braisa, Rava the Amayra has a right to disagree. Memru, or Memru la Rava la Sfirale. Rava doesn't agree, and according to Rava, it doesn't have a case that it could happen. Ask the Gemara. So let's analyze this Gemara. Who is a Mokiv Get Shechur? So we spoke earlier in the week that the halacha is Hamafka Avdoi, Hamadish Avdoi, Yotzel Cheres, Vitzorach Get Shechur. So we have this individual who was freed, Hefker, Hegdish, but now he didn't get a Get Shechur. He didn't get yet Hishtar Shechur. As I said a couple of moments ago, an Eved who's damaged by, who's killed by Shar Mumit, his owner is entitled to Knas. This person who's in the status of a Mu'ukiv Get Shechur, is his owner entitled to Knas or not? Mu'ukiv Get Shechur, Yesh Le Knas or Ein Le Knas? What's the question? Kesef Shloshim Yitin Ladonav, Amar Rachmana, the owner is entitled to Knas, V'hai Lav Adonhu, he isn't his complete owner. Oidilma, Kivin the Mechusa Get Shechur, since he hasn't yet received his Get Shechur, Adon Krinabe, he still considered his Adon and could collect the Knas. Toshma, so Mar attempts to bring a right from the following Braisa. It says in a Braisa, Hey, Miss Misha Chatzi Eva Chatzi Ben Chayrim, the case that we just learned, where Shah Hamud killed this person, Chatzi Eva Chatzi Ben Chayrim, Nois and Chatzi Knas L'Rabboi, V'Chatzi Koi Fuli Yorshav. My laugh isn't referring to a case of the Mishnah Chroina. What does the Mishnah Chroina say? That he has to be freed. So the only thing that he's waiting for is his Get Shechur. And yet we see that there's a concept of Knas. So we see that a Mu'ukiv Shtar Shechur, the owner, is entitled to Knas. He says, no, it's going according to the Mishnah Rishonah, that according to Beis Hillel, he can live like that forever. So his owner is a real owner. It's not somebody that has to be freed. It's not somebody that's a Mu'ukiv Get Shechur. It's a real Eved. And therefore we don't have a Raya to our question. Toshma, the Gemara attempts a different Raya. We know that Torah says that an Eved, that his owner knocks out his teeth, or knocks out an eye, or actually knocks out, as we're going to learn, any of the major limbs, Chof Dal Rosh Yavarim, goes free. What would be the halacha, says the Braisa, Hippel Ashinoi, he knocked out his tooth, the Simes Enoi, and then he blinded him. Yoitz B'Shinoi, so he already became free as soon as he knocked out his tooth. the nice in the may enoi, and then he pays him, he owes the Eved for the damage of knocking out his eye. The amrgesh le knas, the knas le rabbi, if we can say that the owner is still the one that's entitled to the knas, now let's understand this price. Hash the chavu be'achrina, if in a situation where somebody else damaged the Eved, we're suggesting that who collects the knas, this owner, hash the chavu be'achrina, yave, the owner collects the knas. Chavel be rabbi. So if he did the damage, he's going to give to the Eved. Of course he doesn't. If he could collect from others, he certainly doesn't have to pay himself. Says the Gemara, Dilma, perhaps this price goes according to Mandam and its Sarah. The Talmud, the Kulan Eved Yetzben Lecheris, all the cases where an Eved was damaged by his owner, he goes out free. However, the Tzarek gets Shechur, Mirabai. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's indeed a question. This Eved, whose owner damaged him, is a Mokiv get Shechur. However, Mei Oimer ain't a Tzarek. There's no need for even a Shtar Shechur. Rabbi Lazar, and the Gemara quotes many other mandamrim. Rabbi Lazar, I'm a Tzarek, he does need to get Shechur. Rabbi Tafra, I'm a Tzarek. Rabbi Kiva, I'm a Tzarek. Hamachrim l'chfnei chachamim. Machrim l'chfnei chachamim were individuals who used to sit in the Beis Medrash, and when there was a machlokes, they would try to make a decision. Omer nirin divrei Rabbi Tafra, b'shem v'ayin. The opinion of Tafrin is correct, b'shem v'ayin, that if the owner knocked out a shem v'ayin, there is no need for a shtar shechur. Hoyle, because the Torah specifically said that an Eved goes out free when his Shem V'ayin were destroyed. The Dibur B'kiva B'shar V'ayin, but other, by El, the other Avarm that I mentioned earlier that the Eved goes out free, Dibur Shtar Shichur is required. Hoyo, the Knas Chachamim, since it's only Midrabonim. Ask the Gemara, Knas Chachamim? It's not just a Knas Chachamim, Hakragad Hashinin. The Pasuk says that the Eved goes out, Barashi Avarim. Ela Ema, says the Gemara, Hoyl Umedrash Chachamim. Since the Pasuk, and there's a number of ways of explaining this Gemara, since the Pasuk doesn't explicitly say that he goes out free, we only learn it from a drasha, so that's why, in such a case, there's a difference. So just, first let's get to Pash Pashan and the Gemara. The Pash Pashan and the Gemara is as follows. If the Eved, the Shein V'ayin were knocked out. So, since the Torah clearly tells us that a Shein V'ayin, which is knocked out, the Eved goes out free, there's no need for Shtar Shechur. And therefore, in the case that we're discussing, where the owner knocked out the Shein, and then the owner knocked out the Ayin, since as soon as the Shein was knocked out, the Eved is a free man, so the Ayin the owner has to pay for. However, the other Rashi Avorim, that the Torah doesn't explicitly say that the Eved goes out free with, their halacha is that he needs a shtar shechur, and that's the question, if a mu'cha shtar shechur, who gets the knas, the owner or not, the former owner or not. So this Gemara is actually a very difficult Gemara, because one of the foundations of ever opening a Gemara is saying that something that Chazal learned with a drasha has the full din of a daraisa. Yet our Gemara is differentiating between Shein V'ayin, which the Pasuk says explicitly, versus the other Avarim, which the Torah we only learn from a drasha. Where do we find that the Gemara should differentiate between something that the Pasuk says explicitly or a drasha? So I saw three answers. Two are Lomdash answers, and one is a drush answer. One answer is that we spoke about the concept previously, that we're afraid that the owner is going to say to this individual, you stole my Eved. So by Shein V'ayin, we'll not worry about it. Because anybody who ever opened the Chumash knows that an Eved goes out if his Shein V'ayin were removed. So we're not worried that the owner was going to tell him, you stole my Eved. The other, Ivarim, not everybody learned, not everybody comes to the Shir. So not everybody knows that the Eved goes free. That's why we have to be concerned. And that's why their Shtar Shechur is required. One Teretz. Another Teretz is to apply the words to all the Evarim, there's really no indication in the Torah. So it's not even the status of a Daraisa, and therefore we differentiate between Shein V'ayin versus all the other Evarim. But then I saw a very interesting Teretz, based on a vart from the Gra. The Gra says, why is there indeed a din that if an Adon knocked out the shein v'ayin of a Eved, the Eved goes free? Why? He says a very interesting vart. He says, where did Avadim Knanim come from? Where did this whole concept emanate from? It emanates from Chum. The Torah tells us in Parashas Noach that Chum saw his father's erva and then told his brothers, such Shen, talking, his teeth, and Ayin he saw, and that's how he became an Eved. So if the Adon mistreats those Shein v'Ayin, that's how the person became an Eved in the first place. And therefore, the Shein v'Ayin, he goes out. So now we could understand why Shein v'Ayin are different than all other Evarim. Shein v'Ayin represent something special. They represent the way he became an Eved versus everything else, which is not the way he became an Eved. There's a beautiful vart on the following pasuk. The Gemara says, "Yisurim mimarkikin of an oisof shel adam." If a person, Rachman al Tzlan, suffers yisurim mimarkikin of adam shel adam. That's the way his sins are cleared up. The Gemara says, "How do we know?" The Gemara says two ways. One is we learn from Shein V'Ayin, our Gemara. Just like an Eved goes free if it's Shein V'Ayin, so too, if a person suffers, he takes away his averus. Another way is bris melech. Ma melech, if you put salt on meat, it softens it up. So too, salt, which is putting salt on a wound, it's a way of hurting yourself, a way of yisurim, free a person. So Mepharshim explained, there's a very fundamental difference between Shein V'Ayin and bris melech. Shein V'Ayin only work by an owner. If somebody goes and knocks out the eye or the tooth of an Eved, and he's not the owner, the Eved doesn't go free. Salt always has an effect on meat. So Mepharshim said like this, V'gam ani shemati esfnakas pnei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I heard Klai Yisrael crying out. Shein v'ayin. They were being beaten up by the Mitzrim. But it can't help them, because we're pnei noikshav. They didn't realize that it was I who was giving them the Yisurim. They thought it was the Mitzrim giving them the Yisurim. And we said that for Shein v'ayin to be effective, you have to only the owner doing Shein v'ayin. But then the pasuk says, v'sprisi tisker. V'gam v'sprisi esker. By melech we said it doesn't make a difference. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I'm not going to treat them like Shein v'ayin, because Shein v'ayin they couldn't go out with, because they don't realize who their owner is. They don't realize who's bringing the Yisurim. But if you learn from melech, it doesn't make a difference. All Yisurim could save the person. Continues the Gemara. Ibayu, Mukav Get Shechor, the same individual we spoke about, this person who's waiting for Get Shechor. Eichu b'truma or ein eichu b'truma? Is he entitled to eat truma? Kinya Kasper Amar Chmona, who does the Torah say is entitled to eat truma? Someone who belongs to the master, to the Kayin. For Hai, this person, he became free. Hefker, Hegdish, Lav Kinya Kasper Hu. Oidoma, Kivin the Mechusah Get Shechor, Kesef Kriyamay. So Rishayim asked the very obvious question. We've learned many times that the halacha is that if a zar eats truma, he's mechuyev misa b'dei shemayim. So here we have this eved who's completely free. The only thing that's missing is the shtar shechor. So we're going to take a chance and letting him eat truma, that we know somebody who doesn't eat truma is chayev misa b'dei shemayim? What's the Gemara shaila? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that the Gemara is speaking about a b'dieved situation. If he ate truma, that the halacha is that somebody who eats truma has to pay keren v'chaymish, does this person have to pay it? Well, since he's a mukav get shichur from a kayin, maybe he doesn't have to pay the keren v'chaymish. Another pshat that I saw a few pshatim. Another pshat that I saw is, a zor was never allowed to eat truma. So of course, there's a chiv misa if he eats truma, the Torah tells us. Here we're speaking about a person who was an eved to a kayin. So he already has experience of eating truma. Perhaps only when he receives hishtar shichur does he stop eating truma. Before that, he still could continue. two more terutzim. Just like we find that a wife, go back to something we spoke about at the beginning of the shiur, a wife eats truma. A husband doesn't own a wife, we said. Yet, if a woman marries a kohen, she's allowed to eat truma. So we see that the relationship doesn't have to be such a strong relationship. That's why perhaps the halacha also should be that this eved, even though he was freed, but since he's still waiting for the shtar shechur, he should be allowed to eat truma. And a fourth teretz, and we'll leave with this, is that since we find that let's say somebody's an eved kanani to a kohen, and now he goes and buys avadim, the Gemara teaches us that the avadim of the eved kanani are allowed to eat truma. So this individual, who is actually the eved of a kohen, albeit that now he's free, but waiting shtar shechur, maybe he should still be allowed to eat truma. Toshma. We have a woman who's married to Kohanis, to a Kohen, and we also have a woman who has a Shifcha, Kananis, and their two children got mixed up. Both of them are allowed to eat Truma. Because whether he's a Kohen, or whether he's the Eved Kanani, he's entitled to Truma. That they should only go to collect Truma together, so there shouldn't be any misunderstanding what the situation is. Hegdila taruvus, once they become adults, v'shachron zeh, they free each other. Now, from here we see that all they are me'ukiv get shechurah. And even though the me'ukiv shtar shechurah, they eat truma, so don't we have a proof that a me'ukiv shtar shechurah eats truma? So the question, the two situations are not similar. Hashta, hasim v'yave eliyahu, v'yom v'chad minay de'evidhu. Kinyan Kasper Karinabai. There, it's not an issue that he's a Mu'ukiv Shtar Shechur. It's a technical difficulty. We don't know who is the Eved and who is the Kayu. So that's why, because we don't know, we have no choice but to give a Shtar Shechur. Let's say Elio would help us clarify, then we would know. And there would be no need for Shtar Shechur. Hocha, laugh Kinyan Kasper, who klal. Once he's freed, he's not a Kinyan Kasper, and therefore he's not entitled to eat Truma. And as the Rishonim explained, even though normally we don't rely on Elio to clarify halachic difficulties, here it's not a halachic difficulty, it's a metzius. We don't know who is who. For that, we certainly can rely on Elio to come very soon.